we talked about the secret of blessed man. And remember, this is kind of has this idea. It's kind of like a commentary to Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate day and night. It's kind of like the commentary. Psalm 112 is. Okay. Yeah, and you get that, will you? And so here is telling about how a man, this is the secret of a man that can be blessed, or a lady can be blessed, or a child can be blessed, or a teenager can be blessed. Number one, he loves the Lord. And secondly, he loves the Word. He loves the Word. And the sons of the blessed man, these are the offspring. They're mighty men. They're moral men. They've learned this from their dad, and now they're keeping up with the living for God. And then the third, the substance of the blessed man. He has a house full of riches. And I'm not talking about tangible riches. I'm talking about the riches of a good name. I'm talking about the riches of being righteous. I'm talking about the riches of putting your head on the pillow and know you worked hard that day. That's a good feeling, isn't it? Huh? You lay your head on the pillow, realize you didn't cheat anybody, or you didn't lie to anybody, or you weren't immoral. And the immoral thoughts that came to your mind, you dismissed quickly and flushed them and said, I'm not going that way. The sweetness of a man who, when that happens, he sings, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We've had snow so much. Did you catch that? The Bible tells me so. Bible tells me snow. But anyway, I was sitting at my dining room table today, and I really appreciate Miss Sherry and the Ortiz family taking my wife home on Wednesday. She spends about quite a bit of time there, and then she takes Marcia with her and gives me a chance. Well, I was sitting there by myself, which doesn't happen very often in my home anymore, and I was sitting there by myself. I looked out the window, and guess what was doing? Snowing! I thought, what is that? And it was really funny. Kitchen window, it was snowing. In front of my dining room, no snow. And I'm going like, you're playing tricks on me, Lord. Amen. So it's a wonderful thing to have. It's a wonderful thing to have the substance of God. You don't got to go take anything to heaven with you. Except your children and your wife and your family and your friends. And then he talks about not only the heart full of riches, but his heart full of righteousness. There's nothing like having a nice day with your heart. Psalm 112. Then he gives us the serenity of blessed man. He enjoys guidance and grace and goodness and godliness, and we spoke about that week. But now we're going to talk about the sense of the blessed man. He is compassionate. Is this sense? He's compassionate. He has a sense about him. Don't you like have people that are compassionate with you? And he is careful, and we're going to read this. The sincerity of this. The security of the blessed man. He has everlasting security. He has everyday security. Bad news does not shake him. Good news does not shun him. And then we're going to talk about the status of this blessed man. The pity is acknowledged. His piety is acknowledged. And his power is acknowledged. And then his supremacy of the blessed man. Look, he sees the frustration of the wicked. I see this all the time. All the time. I see people that are frustrated. They say, they're the guys that say, it's not fair, it's all this and all that. I don't hear that from a Christian man that's trusting the Lord. Amen. It's not fair. I didn't get that. We don't hear that. We don't need to do that. That's the supremacy that we have. Secondly, the fury of wicked. And then we're also going to see the folly of the wicked. All right, let's start here. Verse 5 of Psalm 112. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in the everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desires upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. May God have a blessing on the word of God. You may be seated. Our precious Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to be with us tonight, and I know you will. You said we're two or three are gathered together. You'd be in our midst, and we thank you for that. Lord, now bless this time. Work in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We are looking at the sense of the blessed man. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with, that's a very important word, discretion. It comes with this idea of direction. He knows where he's going. Every one of you who are born again Christian ought to know where you're going. Where are you going? You're going to heaven. Amen. We're going to heaven. So everybody ought to know. You girls, you two girls, behave yourself up front there. Two sisters sitting there. It was her. I saw that. You pointed at her. Oh, my. Ori, shame on you. Haven't you listened to my sermons on forgiveness? I didn't think so. We need directions in our life. We need to really use discretion how we do certain things. And there's a lot of people today have no discretion at all. Detective Prospector sees people all the time that use no discretion. They're not careful. The other day we had a new deputy sworn in at the sheriff's office, and so I asked me to be up there and have a word of prayer for the swearing in. And after it was over, one of the lieutenants said, "Hey, Chaplain, come on, let's go." I said, "Where are we going?" He said, "Well, we're going to pick up four new brand new sheriff car." I said, "Okay." Well, they didn't tell me where they're going. He just said, "Well, you just go, you know." And you know me, growing up, anybody said, "Let's go," I'm ready to go. Amen. I'm the guy that jumps on the tractor. My dad said, "I'm just backing this thing up, man." "Well, I don't want to miss out, Dad." So we went out there, and I got halfway across town, and I finally said, "Okay, where are we going?" And the other lieutenant says, "Chaplain, weren't you listening?" I said, "No, I did not hear what you said." He said, "You got to be kidding me." I said, "Just tell me where we're going, okay?" And I'm driving, okay? I didn't get in the back seat. I won't get in the back seat. I always sit in front. But if they want to sit back there in the cage, I don't want to be back there. But anyway. So finally we got to the destination and came back. I said, "Now where we're going?" He said, "All right, meet us out there." I said, "Out where?" "You weren't listening again." I said, "Don't mess with me, buddy." And, I need direction. Amen. Just tell me where you're going. And so got out there, came back. And I didn't hear they said four cars. They said two cars. And they said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm taking you back up 3800. That's for the sheriff's office." "No, you're not. You're taking us to get two more cars. What are you listening?" It's always nice to have directions. I do ask for directions. I'm not like some of you guys. I just turn the thing on. It says recalculating. But anyway. A good man shows favor and lendeth. Now listen to this. Here's a man who has something. And he has some people that know he has something, and they come to ask him, "Hey, we need a loan. We're having a hard time. Life is not easy for us right now. Is there any way to help us?" And I want to remind you that when someone in need asks for a loan, the good and the gracious man will be sympathetic to his need, but that doesn't mean he's going to be foolish about it. If you come to me and say, I need to borrow $100, and I have a bill that has to be paid on Monday for $100, I will say, you know what, I'd really like to, but I'm going to have to be like Peter and John, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have in Jesus Christ. I'm going to have to say, I'm sorry, I can't help you. Now, if I have the means and I can help you, I'll do my best. But it is not called for the man asking for the loan to tell me how to run my business or run my money. You understand that? I've heard guys come up and say, God spoke to me and told me to ask you for some money. Well, I've got the money and God didn't talk to me about that, so I'm kind of questioning about that. There's a millionaire at First Baptist Church Hammond, Indiana. He kept asking people kept asking him for money. And whether you know it or not, people that are millionaires usually have most of that money tied up. And they just don't have a wad of money in their pocket and, you know, enough to choke a mule with. It may look like it. My brother-in-law owned one of the largest non-union construction companies in Michigan. Had 175 guys working for him. And he finally quit. He said, I go through more money, and people think I have a lot of money, but he said, I have less money by running my own business than I had when I was just working for a guy. He said, I just have more money going through my fingers. So the principle here is, when someone comes to you and asks you for a loan, you use discretion, because you make sure that your hard work and your stewardship, I know some people that just, they can blow $1,000 just like that. They have no stewardship. Everything new, they're buying, everything they got to get this, they got to have this, and then all of a sudden they run out of fuel, run out of something, and all of a sudden they come and say, hey, I need some help, and here's another guy driving an older car, goes to Goodwill and buys his new clothes there, amen? And very careful, and very, very careful about it. And then the person, and he does have a few extra shekels in his pocket because he is probably waiting for a rainy day or making sure that he's got an emergency coming up. And then so be very careful, Christians, be very careful because people will give you the shirt off their back. They will. They will help you, but you should have discretion. It's discretion on how to spend it and how to give it out. Amen? And remember the principle, when someone comes to you and you have it, and they need it, what are you supposed to do? Give it to them. That doesn't say that you have it, and you need it tomorrow, that you're to give it to them. You've got to be very careful about that. Finance is a very, very troubling thing to a lot of people. And sometimes some people have to wait a long time before they get something. And they're careful about it. And that's good. We ought to be careful about it. But when you have something and you can give it, and the person asks for it, give it to them. Now, are you expect to get it back? No. No, you're not expect to get it back. This is a little different. This is loan. It's loan. In the Old Testament time, you could loan people. But if they were from your own people, God said, no, yours are out. So you give $100 back. You do it to a Philistine, charge him 50% interest, amen. They're not of the family. But anyway, we'll go to that sometime. So the Bible says, when someone is in need, ask for a loan, the good and the gracious man will be sympathetic to his needs. But it doesn't mean he is to be foolish. Back in the early 1900s, late 1800, 1900, my grandfather, great-grandfather, John Shear, moved up into the woods of Michigan and cleared off acreage to have a farm. And he came from Switzerland, came up to the Ohio Valley, and up in the Ohio Valley, didn't want to be a Buckeye, and wasn't for that team, so he went up to Michigan, amen. And when he got up there, he had made some extra money, and he was careful about that, and people knew that they could go to John Shear and get along. Sit down, honey. And get along. And they would. But I heard an old man tell me the story about my great-grandfather. This is very interesting. Your great-grandfather, when they come and say, hey, I need some seed, or I need some apples, or I need some honey. He always had at least 200 hives of bees. And they said that when John Shear started to whistle, you knew you got the loan. And every Shear kid I know knows how to whistle. We can. Oh, man, we can do it all. Amen. We can, like, all that stuff. But anyway. But it's always neat to know that here they said that you could tell that he was going to give the loan to you when he started whistling. I don't know what that means. But if you hear me whistling, it's just for my dog. Amen. He manages affairs with discretion. He does not foolishly expose himself, listen now, to fraudulent men. He does not foolishly expose himself to people who take advantage. Few things can be more disquieting than to be realized that you're loaned money to a person who has little intention of paying it back. If one knows right from the start that he is never again going to see that money he is loaning, that's one thing. In a sense, he's giving it. But a loan money unsuspectedly to an unscrupulous person is something else. The blessed man of this psalm is compassionate and careful. And we ought to be compassionate and careful. I think that, and I'm going to prophesy here, I think that you're going to see more of this all the time. People are expending themselves, going deeper than they should go deep. And then all of a sudden, they have no way of... You see, when years ago... Sit down. Take her out. You want to go out? Yeah, take her out, please. She just wants a loan. Being a believer, being willing to help others does not mean that we should not take proper care and concern to secure our interest as well as we can. Because some people have no conscience. It is no part of Christian charity to aid and encourage the wrongdoer either. Guy needs some money for gas. Put gas in their car. A lot better to give them a $20 bill than go down to the bar and drink it up or go get a tattoo. I like that. Anybody that has the money to buy a tattoo and has money to have an iPad and can't pay your house bill, you don't need any help. Thank you for those three that believe that. Amen. Uncle Sam ain't your daddy. Boy, I got quiet in here, amen. I just want you to know where I'm at, amen. My wife and I started that church in Delavan, Minnesota. I had three jobs but pastoring that church. I hardly seen my kids, but I paid my bills. Joni's got two jobs. Rick's got two jobs. Praise the Lord. Amen. These guys are hustling. Amen. Brother James working hard. Thank God for you men are working. Amen. Thank God you guys got a job. Amen. Some of you gals have to work. God bless you. Stay with it. It's okay. Last time I read in Proverbs 31, she didn't lay around and eat bonbons and watch TV either. Amen. I can understand when a man can't work and he hurts and they can't. I can understand that. But bless God, if you can breathe and you can walk to work or something, bless God, you ought to do it. Amen. The Bible says not man, if you don't work, you don't eat. My daddy said a hungry man's the best worker you can get. Amen. Well, I'm done with that. Number 6. The security of the blessed man. 6-8. The blessed man enjoys. He enjoys everlasting security. Oh, man. Boy, it's good to know if something happens, you're on your way to heaven. Amen. I'm glad about that. Boy, such a person is unmovable. Surely, he should not be moved forever. The foundation, the rock of the planets will someday be renewed. I believe Al Gore is correct, because the Bible does say that this world will melt with fervent heat and the stars will turn into a blaze. So I agree with him. Not now. I think he's off his proverbial planet. I think he knows where he's at. It's always nice to have preachers preach at you that don't live it, amen? With all his yachts and all his cars and SUVs and all that stuff, then telling me that I got to drive one of them stinking Chevy Bolts. Wrong! Leave it alone. In the vastness of heaven, we'll be folded up like a garment. On the other hand, the security of the blessed man is forever. This is the kind of security purchase that we got on Calvary. The memory of such a person endures. Look at this. The righteous shall be in the everlasting remembrance. We all like to be remembered. All of us like to be remembered. And we have enough eternity in all our makeup that we will be remembered forever, the Bible says. What did Solomon say? The memory of the just is what? Blessed. He also said, but the name of the wicked shall rot. And when you think of that, you think of the rich man and Lazarus. Rich man, he dies, he has no name. There's no name. The Lord Jesus Christ remembered in Revelation the life beyond mentions Lazarus by name. He was a poor man who went on to abode into blessedness. But the name of the rich man went out and lost eternity and record blotted out, entered eternity in as a nobody, a nameless, an eternally lost soul. Thank God I'm going to be remembered in heaven. So are you. They'll call you chief in heaven. Amen. Amen. He may not be remembered down here, but he is one of the nobility of heaven. Up there, old Lazarus has a great name. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 7 and 8. Everyday security. Next two things recorded about the upright man. Number one, bad news does not shake him. I want you to get a hold of this. Bad news does not shake him. We hear a lot of bad news every day. All the time. They can't find an airplane. They can't even find the rubbish from that airplane. They're mad now because there's garbage in the ocean. You have bad news of out of Washington. Over 100 dead. Now they're figuring out it's about 28, 30. But there was 100 dead. Now, we're bad news all the time. Electricity bills are going to go up. Tax bills are going to go up. On and on and on. Cancer. We hear all this stuff. Now let me tell you something. Does God know what he's doing? To a man who is stable in God, who has the security of the Lord, says, you know what? God already knew about this, and he knows what I can take, or he'll provide a way of an escape for me. I'm going to take it, and I'm going to trust him in it. Yeah, amen. That's part of a Christian man. That's part of a Christian lady, part of a Christian teenager and a child. I trust my God. Don't live like an atheist. Oh, I don't know if God knows what's going on with me. Yes, he does know what's going on with you. He knew you were going to be here because of the twinkle of your daddy's eye. Amen. He knew you were going to be here at creation, before creation. That's incredible. Bad news doesn't shake him. Look at it. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Even the best of persons at times are overtaken with ill tidings. I've been there. So have you. Loved ones die. I wish I could tell you some stuff I can't. Banks fail. Lightning strikes. Fire flood caused damage. War is declared. God does not take us out of the world, nor does he exempt us from life's ordinary disaster. All of us have trouble. Every one of you. What he does is allows to rest our hearts on him. We may not be able to praise him for what's happened, but we can praise him in what happened. Bad news need not shake us. God is still on the throne. God's still on the throne. He restoreth my soul. So that means that shepherd, boy who said the Lord is my shepherd, had some pretty rough going because he said the Lord restoreth my soul. That shows us that some tough times in life. Don't run. Fight like a man. Get on your knees. Amen. Say, Lord, I don't understand this. I didn't know one thing. This didn't surprise you. And I know another thing, that you're not going to leave me. I know another thing, you're not going to forsake me. And then I know another thing, you're going to help me through this thing. And you listen to me, it's going to happen one of these days. If not, already. And you're going to just spit and sputter and say, good night, what in the world is going on? And all of a sudden, you catch yourself and you say, huh, maybe that's what that preacher was talking about. That the troubles and trials will come to us in our life. But God will sustain us and he'll provide for us. Good news does not shun him either. I like that. There may be bad news, but not all news is bad. The heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees the desire upon his enemies. Persons of faith know that no matter how trying their circumstances, all is well. Good news, it's on its way. Hey, it's coming. You don't know when it's coming, so don't give up. That's why people eat their gun, blow their head off, hurt their family, excruciate them, destroy their future that they had for you. Because they didn't wait. The story told about a man that was a millionaire and he lost everything in the lost everything. His company went bad. He had some people that did some bad things to him and took some money. And all of a sudden, he has nothing. Has nothing. And he's sitting by the fireplace. And this is what he said. I have nothing to live for anymore. I'm not going to beg. I'm down to my last piece of bread. I don't even have butter for it. And I'm not going to live like this. Little did he know his uncle, who he didn't even hardly knew, was a very rich man who'd passed away and left all his inheritance to him. Millions upon millions of dollars. Hope was gone in him. He had no hope at all. And right there by the fireplace, he took his life. And when he pulled the trigger, the mailman was at the door. With an inheritance that could have bought anything he needed. He didn't wait. You know, Christian, there are some things God's waiting for you. He's taking you through some pretty tough times. He's running you through some things, getting you ready so that you can handle some things that you could never handle before. He's training you. He is perfecting you. He's trying to get you to understand there are certain things in this world that are not important. He's trying to get you to understand that, you know what? Money isn't everything. Jesus tried to tell you that it'd be easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to get to heaven. Why? Why? Because he puts so much trust in that money, and he's got to make that money to keep that money. Richness, wealth, is not a sign of Christianity, though some of you, some of these popular preachers on the TV talk to you about, if you send for this prayer cloth, and I've already prayed for it, you'll make lots of money. I've seen old grandmas and grandpas in tar paper shacks who are so happy, you couldn't help but go in their house and smile and get a little touch of heaven in there. I've seen them sitting down and frying a piece of bologna. Y'all know what that is, right? Fried bologna. An old piece of crushed bread. Go down to the granary and get some wheat and bring it into the house and boil that wheat. Put a little honey with it. And have breakfast. And they're the happiest people in this world. I've seen some rich people. My son, one time, we went to a guy's place, very rich man, brand new Corvette, sitting in his garage, brand new Mercedes, another Mercedes sitting there, Sportster, I mean, the most richest thing. I mean, he had all kinds of stuff in his house. And my son says, Daddy, I never want to live like this. He lost his family, lost his children, but he was hardworking. He had all the money. Took us out to eat one night. We went to who was the coach of the Chicago Bears for a long time? Dick Vasquez's restaurant down in Chicago left $100 tip. My boy just about went crazy. I thought, well, one of them going back and pick it up, put it in his pocket, and stealing. Wants it at the table. That's not fun. That's not fun. Fun is knowing that God loves you and your children are about you and just having a good time. Fun is having bills and God answering your prayer and paying them. That's fun. How are you going? I'm about done here. The status of this blessed man, his piety. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. Here you see the essence of a practical godliness, to realize that the person that is in need, he does not deny him by faith, and he helps him. The piety, his righteousness endureth forever. He's a good man. He lives for God. He's careful how he lives. He doesn't want anything in the world. He don't want anybody to say, hey, you're part of the world. Then when someone is in need, he helps them. And he takes care of them. Well, I hope tonight that we would be more like the Lord Jesus Christ and live like him. Look at his power. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The horn always emphasizes, anytime you read the word of the horn in the Bible, always talk about the strength of a wild beast, his horns. Throughout the Bible, it's a symbol of power. And this man has power. Who does he have power with? He has power of God and man. And look at the supremacy of this man. The wicked man, he has frustration. The vast verse sets the blessed man in contrast to the wicked man. Wicked man's frustration. He is grieved. The wicked man does not see the good of man prospering. And time, however, is on the side of a good man. Because if you just keep serving, and you keep serving, and you keep serving, you're going to win. Wickedness, listen to me now, wickedness never wins. It never wins. Decisive and self-defeating, it carries the seed of its own destruction. The millennial reign of Christ is to be the great manifestation in the world of the principle that God is on the side of goodness. God's on the side of good. God's on the side of you who take your stand and say, you know, I'm not going there. God's on the side of you who says, no, I'm not going to be part of that. You kids in school, I'm not going to be a part of that kind of stuff. I'm going to stand up for my Jesus. I'm going to stand up for my faith. I'm not going to go there. The wicked man's fury. Look at that. He shall gnash his teeth and melt away. Gnashing means of his teeth always means fury and rage. The wicked are on their way to a place of gnashing of their teeth. All their schemes have come to nothing, and they be forever incarcerated in hell. Their violence, their vileness can no longer affect the course of the age. They will see the blessings of heaven and Christ enthroned, and all his angels of God worship him, and they will see the blessing reigning on high and going from glory to glory, and they will gnash their teeth in fury. They'll be so mad. You see it at work. You guys serve the Lord. Give your heart to the Lord. And those devil boys, I mean, they're the boozers, you know, and they're out screaming and hollering and cussing, you know, and you're just walking, you're walking the walk, talking your talk. You're careful, amen. They don't like you. They don't like you. Okay. You love Jesus. And the last is the wicked man's folly. The desire of the wicked shall perish. All that he has lived for, now listen to me now, has come to an end. You've seen them. You've seen people who, you know, the bartenders and the boozers and the druggies. How does their life end up? You see some old sweet lady loves the Lord God. And she talks so sweet. And you hear some old woman that hasn't. You heard them. How many ever heard them? Yeah. Hey, it pays to be sweet. It pays to be godly. The dreadful passions he had kindled like kindled life and consumed him now with no more to quench his desires and thirst. He comes and sees the blessed, and sees the blessed who desires holiness and found the way of true happiness. And he could have loved the Lord God, and he could have loved the Word of God, but he didn't. And he desires other things, and now the death that he had betrayed and burned by the evil desire that cultivated in his life. I'm telling you, it's coming. It's coming. Well, I've seen them come and go. Seen guys have Boy, they're just rugged, and boy, nothing stops them, and they take every fruit of this world, and they gorge themselves on it, and all of a sudden, they die. Begging for a preacher to help them at last. So the end of the instructive psalm, a magnificent commentary of Psalm 1, may God fill our hearts with the right desire. What do you think Jesus thinks of your life right now? How are you doing? By the way, the world's watching you, whether you like it or not. They're watching you. That's there. They're watching you. But we're watching the world. And we're watching that bay tree that grows up and withers. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Oh, it's good to serve God. Whatsoever we do, Bible says he prospers. Ah, the ungodly are not so. But like the chaff that the wind driveth away. Stay with the book, folks. If I was a teenager today, 12 years old and up, I would memorize Psalm 1 over and 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 over again. And I challenged my teenager in my home to have that to be part of their heart. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Bless these folks. I know it'll take some extra minutes. Pray God you bless them. Lord, help us, Lord, to know more about you. Please, God, help us to walk close to you, that we may live by you. Thank you for the word of God in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, you're dismissed.